and thank you for downloading our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. At Compass Catholic Ministries, our goal is to help you rid yourself of all, that's right, all of your debt, no matter how small or large the debt may be. We use the Bible as our resource tool. Now, why the Bible? Well, do you realize there are over 2,500 verses in the Bible that speak specifically with how we should be handling money? And we teach these biblical principles in our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, and we'll show you how to put those principles into action. Learn more at CompassCatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and leading our discussion today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. So, John, the big argument that I hear over and over and over, should I buy or should I lease a car? You know, my question to you is there a difference?
There's a big difference between the two. When you're leasing a car, you're making a payment based on the value of the lease. Whereas you buy a car, you're making payments based on the total value of the car.
So how would you calculate the balance, the value of the lease? It's based on what?
Whatever the dealer tells you he's willing to lease it to you for.
So there's no scientific method there.
Well, I'm sure they have a scientific method, but you got nothing to say about it, pretty much.
So the lease is the lease is the lease, right?
I mean, they will make your payment lower if you give them a bunch of money up front. But, that maybe is either good or bad.
So let's talk about what's good about leasing first.
Okay.
I know you don't believe in leasing.
I don't like the idea of leasing because you never get rid of your car payment.
Okay.
That's a fixture.
But right now we're going to talk about the good stuff.
Okay.
So what's the good stuff about leasing?
When you lease a car, it depends on whether you've got a two-year lease or a three-year lease, but basically the car is never going to go out of warranty. The depreciation of the vehicle is you're not absorbing the depreciation. The dealership is. You are to an extent, but basically that falls on the dealership.
So basically that means that your lease payments are probably going to be less than what you would expect to pay if you bought a car and got a loan.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So if your lease payments are less than a car payment, then you would probably free up money for other areas of your budget.
That's a potential advantage. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing, and it depends on what you're into, and I'm not sure this is a good reason or not, but you can drive a higher priced car, a car that's better equipped, a car that might be considered quote unquote nicer. When you lease as opposed to when you're buying, because again, you're only paying for the value of that car for 2 years or 3 years.
What about tax advantages? If you run your own business, is there a tax advantage if you lease a car?
Yes, a tax advantage. There's definitely a tax advantage to leasing because as from a business standpoint, that's a vehicle and your payments are basically totally a write-off.
Are there scenarios, though, where leasing makes sense? And I'll give you one. My car is beat up. It's costing me every month for mechanical fixes, but I can't afford a new car. But I see these commercials on TV where I can lease for $199 a month.
Well, it depends on what the other parameters are in the lease. And I think we're going to get into that as we get into the program further. But if you have to pay $199 a month for the lease, are you going to be able to save up enough money to buy a car as you're paying that for the lease? Mm-hmm. Because you eventually want to be at the point where you own the vehicle, not lease it.
So at the end of 2 or 3 years, I should have enough money for a down payment on a quality used car.
If it works out with your budget.
Right.
Well, and the other thing is a lot of those advertised really low prices require an upfront capital payment of $2,000, $3,000. So you got to be careful. I mean, the $199 lease kind of a thing is for a really plain Jane car.
Yeah, it's
car.
A low-end car. It's not the luxury.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a plain Jane car, and you're probably going to have to kick in some money at the beginning to offset the low price.
But if you buy a quality used plain Jane car and put down the same amount of money,
You own it.
Well, your payments may be the same or less.
Yes. Yeah.
So it really comes down to the math, right?
Yeah.
Now, what about the warranty? What is the warranty on a lease car?
Well, basically, all new cars today come with a bumper-to-bumper lease, a warranty. And so you don't have to pay for, typical stuff that might go wrong on a new car because it's covered by warranty.
So typically the lease is for 3 years or 36,000 miles, right?
I don't know any of them that go as high as 36,000 miles. The maximum amount of mileage per year typically is 10,000. So in 3 years, it'd only be 30,000.
So basically, when you're leasing a car, you're driving it under warranty the whole time.
Correct.
Okay. So basically, you don't have any maintenance costs on that car.
That's correct. One thing good about having a lease means that you're always going to have a new car smell in it over the 3 years. Now, it's going to, it's going to fade away.
Especially if you have teenage boys with their shoes off, right?
but you can always get a can of new car smell for, $5.98 and you'll be in good shape. But the other thing about having a lease car is there's not necessarily any haggling that goes on when you take your car back. If you have kept the car in good condition, you've driven it fewer miles than what the maximum calls for, you just take the car back and give it to them. Now, if you're really into getting a new car all the time and that new car smell has started to fade a little bit, then, a lot of these leasing companies or dealerships will take the car back before the lease expires. And because they know that they're going to be able to sell it. It's a real low mileage car. It's got all the bells and whistles on it. And they're going to be able to sell it and get a good deal on it. So they'll let you bring it back. They won't charge you all the payments that you haven't paid. And they'll probably give you a pretty sweet deal on the next lease. But again, you've got that lease payment, that car payment, month after month after month after month after month after month.
John, do you have an option of buying the lease when you turn it in?
You do. And we actually have done that once. We've leased two cars over our lifetime. And one we purchased, the first one we purchased, and I did some calculations on it. Now, when we purchased it, we paid cash. On the, when we purchased it.
Okay.
So we leased it for 3 years. We were over on the mileage, not very much, but just a little bit. But we were going to have to, kick in $500 or something like that. But we could have just given the car back to them. But we purchased it for cash. And then I did a calculation over, the lifetime of the car. Was this a good deal or a bad deal? And it turns out that we actually saved a slight amount of money by doing it that way. Now, if we'd had to take out a loan to buy the car after 3 years, it would have been a worse situation
right.
than if we just bought it in the first place.
Now, can you negotiate?
Yes.
So you can't negotiate. Okay. I didn't know if they had a thing like when you lease a car and they, at the end of the 3 years, they say it's going to be worth this much money if you keep it in great shape, if you know the price in advance of what the trade-in value or...
Well,
what the
there's not a lot of
be.
Negotiating there,
okay. but some.
There's
okay.
a little bit, yeah.
And there's other fees that you would pay with a lease that you don't have with a car payment, I think. I mean, you have lease initiation fees, right? Which I guess would be similar to a down payment.
You can have fees. That's what we were talking about earlier, where, if you got $199 loan on a lease car, not a loan, but a payment on a lease car, you may have $1,500, $2,000, $3,000 as an initiation, in order to have that really low payment.
So I guess what you're saying is if you do decide to lease a car, you really need to understand the fine print and understand what is included, excluded, and what all your costs are. It's not just a head-to-head comparison between buying and leasing.
Absolutely. And depending on the car and the dealership and how you've done on keeping it up and stuff like that, if you want to get out of the lease before it expires, there's a lot of times that you could be stuck with, a lot of money, several thousand dollars in termination fees and penalties, which should all be due the day you turn the car in. So you have to be careful about that.
Now, can you buy extra miles beforehand?
Actually, yes, you can, and it's cheaper to do that.
Okay, I was just going to ask, because the cost, if I turn the car in and I'm 1,000 miles over, what's the normal fee?
15 cents a mile.
So if I buy a prepackage, knowing that I am going to go over.
It might be 10 cents a mile.
10 cents a mile, okay.
Okay, something like that. And it varies by lease and by car company and, all that kind of stuff. So you never really know what's going on.
Fine print. Read the fine print.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So do you get credit if you don't go to the mileage limit?
No.
So they don't give you any benefit there?
Oh, so it's use it or lose it.
Basically,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But that's, that's the kind of situation, and we know somebody who does that. They don't get all the mileage used up, and the dealership is usually coming back to them because they're looking at the maintenance records and they're seeing this car, and they'll come back to them anywhere from, 6 to 12 months early and say, we'd like to buy the car back. No penalties, no extra payments. We just want the car, and we'll make you a deal on the next one.
So it sounds like the worst thing about leasing is just the fact that you never have any equity in it. You never own that car. Just never-ending payments.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, always here to help you save money. And you can learn how to handle money the way God intended simply by checking out our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more, see the details of this study at compasscatholic.org. Well, we just gave you the pros and cons on leasing a vehicle. Now, let's hear the pros and cons on buying a vehicle. And John, why don't you start us off with one benefit of buying a car?
You own it. it's yours. You can customize the vehicle any way you like, Steve, if you want to put pinstripes on it or put a two-tone paint job on it.
Or those purple lights that go underneath the car that, change based on your music.
The car belongs to you, and you can modify it however you choose. And here's the important thing, you can keep it as long as you would like. And I think this is an extremely important point. Steve, the car that you have now is, 3 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the car you had before, you owned for how long?
9 and a half.
9 and a half. And Audrey's car is?
Almost 19.
Almost 19 years, okay. Mm-hmm. So you haven't had a car payment since forever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the beauty of it.
Exactly, exactly. And now, Evelyn, you just got a car.
Yes, I'm glad you didn't say a new car because it's a used car.
Yes, and you paid cash for it.
Yes, I did.
But the car you had before that, how long did you have it?
6 years, I think.
We bought it in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had it 6 years, but it was a 9-year-old car.
Yes.
And you paid cash for it.
Yes.
Okay. The point here is that even if you have to take out a loan to buy the car, if you keep it beyond the loan life, then you can pay yourself. And you can begin to, and what I'm saying, pay yourself the same amount as you were paying when you had to pay the loan off, okay? So whatever that monthly amount was, $199, $300, $500. I think the average car loan today is about $500. It's a huge amount of money. Whatever that amount is, I know you're going to be really excited when you don't have to pay it anymore. But if you keep paying that to yourself, putting it in a special savings account so that you keep that car for another 3 years.
Or 4 years or 5 years, yeah, or 10 years.
And then when you trade that car in, plus what you've saved, you ought to be able to buy the next car. Notice I didn't say new car. The next car without having to get a loan. You just pay cash.
And one of the advantages of that is that you can drive as many miles as you want to. I mean, we were talking earlier about lease cars where you're limited to a certain number of miles every year. And if you own the car, it doesn't matter how many miles you put on.
And how many miles did you have on that 9-year-old car?
50,000. The grocery store's pretty close.
That's like Audrey's car is 19 years old and it just turned 130,000 miles. But, John, the beauty, too, of not having a car payment is as the car was getting older, we can make adjustments on the insurance because we don't need the collision.
Yes.
So you save a few dollars here and there.
Yes, 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 absolutely. Those are good reasons to buy a car. It's also a good reason why you should be buying a used car, or another way to put it would be a gently used car or a fairly new car. You can put all kinds of lipstick on that.
Yeah, but I think when you go to a dealership, it's called certified used car because the manufacturer warranty is still attached, what's ever left.
Well, there's two types. You can buy a certified car, or you can buy one that's not certified.
Right.
And it hasn't been through the inspections. Or if you buy it from a private individual, it's definitely not going to be certified. You want to take it to a mechanic and have it checked out, obviously.
Do you remember when we bought the damaged car, the hail damaged car?
Oh, yeah. I thought
that was a long time. That was like 30 years ago. But we had that horrendous hailstorm one year.
And 92.
It looked like a ball peen hammer had been taken to every car that was sitting outside when the hailstorm came. And we bought a car that had one tiny little ding on the roof. And that was the only damage to it. And we got some ridiculous amount of money off for that little ding.
Oh, yeah. It was $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000 less.
Off of a ding. Wow.
Yeah.
So there's good deals out there if you're patient. The problem is a lot of people fall in love with a car. And they just have to have it.
Yeah, and you can't do that.
And don't go to a dealership with a hammer. Like when they're closed. And then the next day you show back up and going, I'll take that hail damaged car over there.
But Steve, you go to the dealership in the right frame of mind. If it's not the deal you want, and I know you and Audrey have done this, walk away.
Oh, yeah.
They will do anything they can to keep you sitting in that chair and negotiating. But if you're not getting the deal you want, don't be afraid to walk away. It's just a car. You can find another one.
Exactly.
Yeah. One time we went to the dealership. I already had the check made out for the amount that we wanted to pay. And I put it on the table and I said, this is how much we want. And he said, I can't do that. I can't sell it to you for that. So we picked up the check and we left.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a different dealer and got the deal we wanted. And probably a better car even. One of the things about when you buy a car though, is there's a cost associated with it. And depending on whether you're buying it new or used, the costs are different. If you're going to get a loan for the car, the biggest cost is the cost of interest. The lower the interest rate that you can get, the least amount of money that you have to finance, the better off you're going to be.
What about maintenance? I mean, when you buy a car, you're responsible for all the maintenance after whatever warranty period you get expires, right? I mean, you can buy an extended maintenance on a used car, but we don't recommend that, do we?
Yeah, it depends on whether you're buying a certified car. And, you know, one of the things that you'll find when you buy a certified car, the dealership will typically give you an extended warranty with the price of the car. Now, they're going to factor it in, obviously. However, we've purchased certified used cars in the past where the warranty we got on the car was longer than the initial warranty that you got if you bought that car brand new.
Which really doesn't make any sense, does it?
It doesn't, but that's just it's another reason why you should buy a used rather than new. What about if you buy bad?
You mean the bad things about buying?
Yeah, buying bad, you know.
Well, you probably have a higher monthly payment than if you lease a car, right? Because you're spreading out the whole cost of the car, not just this 3 years you're going to use it.
Well, in all probability. And the other thing about that is that, you know, if you don't have a bunch of cash to put down, you know, you can't pay cash for it, and you don't have a bunch of cash to put down as a down payment, your monthly payment is going to be significantly larger and for several more years than if you leased a car.
And if you have bad credit. That just adds to the interest and makes it worse.
Now, I'm not a proponent of leasing cars. It may sound like, hey, you know, leasing a car is a pretty good idea. I don't like that because you're always going to have a car payment. It's really great when you don't have a car payment. And, you know, that's an important thing. The other thing about buying a car, if it's not brand new, it's a used car, and if it's not certified, you know, a used certified car is a good deal, and I don't think you really need to take it to a mechanic to check out. It doesn't hurt, but if you're buying a car that's not certified, you absolutely should not buy that car until you've had the opportunity to take it to a mechanic and let him certify that there's nothing wrong with it.
Including the frame.
Including the frame.
You mean like if it was in a car accident or something?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened to us when our son turned 16, found a used car, great shape, looked beautiful, took it to a mechanic. He tore the removed the carpeting in the trunk and saw the weld marks where the car had been in an accident and the frame was welded.
Wow. So did you take it back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Actually, we looked at a used car one time. I took it because it had in the clear coating, it had a bunch of scratches in it, you know, with a buffer and stuff like that. So I took it to a paint guy and asked him about how the scratches would come out, if they would come out. He says, yeah, but you know, this car's been repainted. I said, what do you mean it's been repainted? He says, well, look right here. And you can kind of see the orange peel, you know, if you look down the side. And that was never acknowledged by the dealership that was selling the car. So you got to be careful if you're buying a used car and it's not certified.
And
you
also,
don't know what you're getting.
And also at a dealership, you can ask for the Carfax, the whole background. And most of the time, they'll have the entire history of the car.
Right.
What about car insurance? Is there a really big difference between car insurance on used cars and new cars?
Absolutely. A new car, you're going to have a lot more insurance coverage. Collision and comprehensive stuff like that is going to be more expensive than on an older car. If you ever take a look at your insurance policy year by year, the difference between the first year and the fifth year is a significant difference. So that's an important thing.
So it's really, what you're saying is it's really difficult to make a head-to-head comparison between leasing and buying, right?
Yes.
So if lease payments are typically cheaper than loan payments, they still both add up over time, especially when you consider the fact that if you lease, you have nothing to show at the end of it.
Yes. The biggest thing is if you buy a car and pay cash, then you have no interest payments. You have no monthly payments. And that is absolutely the best way to go. And then once you've paid for it, keep paying yourself so that when this car is ready to be replaced, you have the cash to do it all over again.
And remember, a car is simply a way to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, I guess that does sum it up, Evelyn. A vehicle is just great to get you from here to there. If you'd like to share this program with a friend or family member, you can do so by going to compasscatholic.org, scroll down to podcast, and you'll find not only today's show, but you'll also find an archive of all the past shows that we have done. And before we get out of here today, let's get to a couple of emails. Let's see, put John and Evelyn to the test and see what kind of advice they have for these listeners. Okay, John and Evelyn, I'm going to start you out with an easy question to kind of get you warmed up. Can you recommend a simple method or tool to get started with a family budget?
On the Compass Catholic website, that's compasscatholic.org, there is a link to participants, and then under that, there's a bunch of practical applications. And one of those is a spreadsheet that you can use for your budget. Since I'm the spreadsheet queen, that's my contribution, is a link to a spreadsheet. So that's available, again, from the Compass Catholic website.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Evelyn. That's an excellent tool to use. And another tool that you might want to take a look at is at mint.com. It's another tool to create a budget. It's more electronic instead of just a spreadsheet. So it's you might find that easier to use. It's whatever, you know, whatever works the best for you. That's the important thing. In all of the budgeting processes that we do, if it works for you, that's what you should use. Whatever is the easiest is what you should be using.
Even if it's a pencil and paper.
Even if it's pencil and paper on a napkin or something like that. Because if it's not easy for you to use and you're not comfortable with it, you won't ever use it.
No matter how good a tool it is,
exactly,
they won't use it.
Exactly. Yeah. So use what's best for you.
You know, there's also a lot of smartphone apps and apps available from the banks or credit unions. So I would check with your bank or credit union to see if they have something available. Because often that'll download a lot of information from your bank or credit union that integrates with your budget.
Exactly.
Okay, this one is a little bit more challenging. John and Evelyn, I have an opportunity to invest in a vacation rental property with a friend of mine, and it looks like a great opportunity. And I'm debt-free with a good emergency fund already built up. But is it a good idea to sign, take out a loan with another person other than my spouse?
That's a terrible idea. You need to think about what would happen if you couldn't rent it and your friend lost his job or you lost your job and you wouldn't be able to make your portion of the monthly mortgage payment, plus the real estate taxes and the insurance and all the other expenses. And what would happen if one of you needed to sell to the other and the other one wanted to keep it?
Well, I remember you and I tried to do this in our the phase of our life when we were enamored of money.
Yes, I remember that.
And we actually got out of it because we couldn't get clear title to the property.
Yes.
There was a dispute about the boundary line between this property and the next, and it was such a blessing that that didn't happen. That I thank God when I think of that, that it didn't happen, although we were stupid enough to make it want to happen.
we wanted to make it happen, and we were pretty bummed out when it didn't because, I mean, that was a beautiful piece of land on the coast.
But it's good it didn't happen.
And I understand it can be exciting to think that you're going to own rental property, like, let's say, in the mountains or at the beach, but you really have to think about the big picture and what ifs. John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you have a financial challenge that you are experiencing and you'd like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, you can send as many questions as you would like, and you will email those questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. We have a brand new podcast coming up each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Go to compasscatholic.org. Just scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast. Not only will you find a brand new show, but you'll find an archive library of all the shows that we have done. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.